Well, good morning. I think this is my final morning up here, but it has been definitely a pleasure, even though I am not a morning person, to get up and be with you. I think my wife is kind of laughing at me a little bit because she knows how hard it is to get me up. But this morning, I want to do something different again. I'm actually going to ask my beautiful wife to come up because she loves this kind of thing. Plus, she is much better at it than I am. So for the first little bit, I'm going to hand over the program to her, and I'll let her explain to you what she's doing.
Good morning. Just for the record, I'm not a morning person either. It is a struggle for both of us, but we made it, so this is a good thing. One second here. Anyways, while it's deciding whether it wants to live or not, So this morning we are going to do a game of Jeopardy with you folks. We've been we are in the teen cabin in the mornings and evenings, and we've been doing a lot of these with them. We started last year. I thought, okay, we'll do one and we'll move on to something else. But they came last year and they did one, and they practically staged a coup in demand for more. So so we did them all last year, and we're doing them again this year. So we thought we would give you folks the opportunity to have a round as well. And Frank will explain the application afterwards. So, I need two volunteers. Now, I'm going to discriminate a tiny bit. No pastors, please. We need to give people a fighting chance. So, we have two volunteers who would be willing to come up here and join in our Jeopardy.
Or maybe you just don't want to embarrass pastors.
Well, that too. Now, some of the questions can be a bit tricky, but nobody? I'm going to have to voluntold someone. No? Well, would you like to join us? No? Oh, dear. Okay. Oh, perfect. Oh, lovely. Thank you so much. Don't worry, you'll be okay. Now, we have our lovely judge joining us this morning. We have Erna being our judge. So, what's going to happen? I don't know if you... do you want to stay there or do you want to come up here? Okay. Actually, maybe even if you wanted to sit right in the front row there would be perfect. So what's going to happen, I'm going to let one of you select a question. Usually we do like a coin toss or something, but I'm sure you can come to an agreement as to who can go first. And then we'll get you to pick one of the questions we have. Why is my screen like this? Where's that? One second. There we go. Never mind. Okay. Is it possible to do
it? It does when it wants to.
Yeah, the computer is being a bit of a difficult person this morning. So we'll get one of you ladies to choose a category. Can you see that from there?
Yeah.
It's a bit tiny, but we have the amounts in there just because we were keeping score with the kids, but we'll be playing for fun. So we'll get you to choose a category and a number. I will read up the question, and once I've said go at the end, the first person to raise their hand gets to answer the question. So and Erna's going to be our judge as to who raises their hand first. With the kids, they're, yeah, you really have to have a judge because it's like microseconds in between some of them. So, who would like to start us off?
Construction season.
All right. Oh, and I should probably explain some of these categories. So, construction season is going to be about the building of the temple. Rise and shine will be about the resurrection. And growing like a weed, well, that one will have to be self-explanatory. So I don't want to give away too much. So construction season 100? He said? Okay. So who originally planned to build the temple but was forbidden by God? Go. Sorry. Yes, ma'am.
I just read this this morning.
I forget.
No.
David.
Yeah. David. Okay, King David. All right, we'll give you that one.
Okay.
All right, so...
Thanks, Alex.
You're welcome. All right, so since you got the answer correct, you get to pick the next one. And so I should probably introduce you ladies. Well, I don't know your names either.
I'm
so
Deb Crosby.
Deb Crosby.
And Jacinth Butterfield.
And what, sorry?
Jacinth.
Okay. Bev okay. And Jacinth. Okay, I can do this.
Bible basics for 500.
Ooh, she's going right to the big ones. All right. I like it. All right, what do we have? How many books of the Bible did Paul write? Go. Yes, ma'am.
10.
No.
So if we were keeping score, we would deduct the points. But we're not keeping score. We'll give you some grace.
Is it 8?
No. No, it was actually 13.
13. Oh. Oh. Quickly.
Oh, good idea. All right. So I did try to stage it so that the 500s are harder. I don't know if it always worked, but at least in that case it did. So, Ben, we'll go back to you.
5 of base 6 for 300.
All right, 300. Nice and in the middle there. How many books are there in the New Testament in total? Go.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, it is 20. Oops. 27. I want to say 6. 27.
It is 27, yes. It's a good thing we have that the call a friend option.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Well, you know, it's our own jeopardy. We're just combined.
I love it.
I only really watched Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune as a kid, so we might have some Wheel of Fortune there somewhere too. Okay. All right, go ahead, Beth.
Rise and Shine for 200.
Rise and Shine for 200. All right, how many disciples were on their way to Emmaus when Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection? Go.
Two.
Very good. All right.
Rise and Shine for 400.
Okay. And I should probably say, too, I forgot to mention this. So we'll just ask you to wait till after I say go to raise your hands as well.
Oh, okay.
Just so we're both on. We'll have an even chance.
Okay.
Rise and Shine 400?
Yes.
Perfect. Nope, come on. Here we go. What happened when the angel rolled back the stone that was covering Jesus' grave? Go. Yes, ma'am.
It was empty.
Eventually, but what happened right when he rolled the stone back?
I went blank.
Jacinth, do you remember?
He rolled the stone back immediately after he rolled the stone back.
Just kind of concurrent with it.
The angel told spoke.
No.
No. Jesus got.
Yes, it was an earthquake.
Oh. I think, what am I missing?
A violent earthquake at that. All right. Oh, my mouse keeps disappearing. Here we go. Okay.
Rise and Shine for 500.
Rise and Shine for 500. Alrighty. And you know, sometimes this happens. Sometimes one person gets on a streak, but it can turn around really fast too. So don't worry. When they heard the news that Jesus' tomb was empty, two disciples ran to the tomb. Who arrived second? Go.
Mary.
No.
The women. I'm thinking the women.
Was it Peter?
It was Peter, yes. There you go.
Yeah,
very good.
Half for five.
So the first one was the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Yeah.
And then Peter. Very good. All right, Chisholm.
That was a trick.
Growing like a weed. But 200.
200, all right. All right, where did the farmer plant the mustard seed in Jesus' parable? Go.
We just had that yesterday morning. In his,
yes, ma'am.
In his backyard.
It doesn't say. It doesn't say where.
Okay, in his yard.
The mustard seed. Jesus' parable.
You got anything else?
Not at the moment.
In a mustard
seed. Under pressure.
Mustard seed.
How about you, Sid? Do you have an idea?
In the field?
Yes. It didn't say where the field was located, so I wasn't sure what to say. It might have been in his backyard. I don't know. All right, so the field. Very good. Just simple. You choose the next one.
Oh, that's me again. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bible basics for 400.
400, okay. All right, what is the longest book in the New Testament? Now, we're not talking chapters, we're talking words. Go ahead.
Oh.
Like words. Content, longest content.
I mean,
what is the longest?
In the New Testament.
Yes, so like what would be the thickest book? Yes.
Matthew 24?
Not chapter, you said?
No, oh, the so book. The whole book.
Book,
yeah.
Psalm is Psalms is not in the
New
Testament.
New.
In the longest book.
First Corinthians?
No.
No. The longest one. Is it John?
No, I don't know.
I know.
No.
Or Revelation.
No, John. No. How about audience? Do you folks know? Not Matthew, not Acts.
That's what I thought.
What?
Nope.
No.
What?
It's only 21.
So it is, in fact, Luke. So it's
Luke. Luke 24.
We confused our poor teens with this last night. They did this Jeopardy last night. So it's like, yeah, it's not chapters. It's basically like how thick the book is, like a word count type of thing. So yes, it would be Luke.
Oh, okay.
But it's okay. You got to have a few that stump you. Yeah, it's just a...
Construction season for 300.
Alrighty. I stuck that one in there because where I'm from out in Alberta, the joke is that there's two seasons. There's winter and there's construction. So we have construction season. 300, you said?
Yeah.
Alright. How long did it take Solomon to build his own house? Go.
Ooh, gee, I read that recently. Was it 7 years?
No, it was not. Audience? 14, it was not 14.
I'll fake it, 11.
It wasn't 11. I wish it was. It was, in fact, 13. You were close, Dave. You were close. Very nice. Okay, I believe that's back to Jacinth.
Okay, so rise and shine for 300.
Rise and shine for 300. Is what day of the week did the two Marys go to the tomb at dawn? Go. Yes, ma'am.
Friday.
No.
Sunday.
Sunday. Yes. Very good.
It was Sunday.
Very good. Yes, it was Sunday. It was Sunday that they went at dawn. Yes. Very early on the first day of the week. Alrighty.
Construction season for 400.
For 400. All right. And we really appreciate you being there, Erna. It's, so far, it hasn't been a dispute. You're more for if there's a dispute as to who went up first. We really appreciate you helping out. All right. What was Solomon waiting for before he began construction on the temple? Go.
Wait for.
Having a clue.
Yes, ma'am.
I would guess it's either well, the Lord gave him instructions to build it, so he had that. All of the wood.
No.
No?
No. Anybody else? No.
He's welcome. The gold.
Frank is saying we do have an Old Testament scholar among us, and I'm saying he's welcome to answer as well. No, he's got nothing either. Anybody else?
The gold.
The gold? No, it wasn't. It wasn't any kind of material. No.
Strength.
No, all good answers. But he was waiting for a time of peace. So in the in 1 Kings 5, 4-5, he's not sure who he's talking to. It could be himself. I didn't look to see who he was talking to. But he's talking. It says, now that everything, all our enemies are defeated, vanquished, we're not at war. It's time of peace. Now I will build the temple. So he was waiting for a time of peace. But I didn't know that either. I learned that yesterday when I was putting this together. All right. Just it.
Okay. Rise and shine for 100.
100, okay. And you're doing very well at this, by the way. What were the 12 disciples doing in a boat when Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection? Go.
Wait until boat.
After his resurrection. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, I was thinking the other.
Well, since your hand was up really early, we'll let you withdraw it. But
what were the 12 disciples doing in a boat when Jesus appeared to them
after
his resurrection?
Is fishing? Fishing?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yeah. It was the fishing. Very good.
Fishing.
It was fishing. Yeah. There you go. Well, they could have been. I suppose if it was smuggling, they wouldn't have said so. Alrighty, Justin.
There's another construction for 500.
500, alrighty. Where's my mouse? There we go. All right. King Hiram of Tyre shipped this to Jerusalem for the construction of the temple. Go.
Oh, what did he say?
Yes, ma'am.
Try. I read that. He said all of it was a type of wood that was needed.
Yeah, just wood is good.
Wood.
Yeah, I believe it was cypress wood, but yeah. It just said lumber. In this particular passage, they weren't too specific, so very good. All right, you can go again.
Construction for 200.
200, gonna finish that one up already. We're almost done the first three categories. How long did it take Solomon to build the temple of God? Go. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, 7 days wrong.
That was more Jesus speed.
That's why I kept thinking, no, that's not right.
No, it's a bit early. It's okay. Jacinth, did you have a guess?
Yeah, I can guess. Oh, was it 7 years?
Yes, it was, she was on the right track. 7 years, there you go. Awesome, okay.
I cheated off my answer.
No, I know when was that.
Just joking.
All right, what would you like next?
Bible basics for 200.
200, alrighty. Hopefully these are a little easier, I don't remember. Okay, what is the longest book in the Bible? Go.
Psalm 119.
Just in
Psalm what?
I believe that one's in the middle. Just in what will be the longest book in the Bible?
Psalms.
Psalms, okay, all right, sorry, yes, exactly. Very good. So again, she was on the right track. All right, did you want to finish that one up? Or did you want to finish that one up, or do you want to go to a new category?
I'll finish that one.
Finish that one, okay. Yeah. All right, so last one in the Bible basics. How many books of the Bible did Luke write? Go. Yes, ma'am.
Two.
Yes, very good. And for bonus brownie points, what were they?
Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And is it Mark or Matthew? I can't remember. I don't remember the other one.
It is Matthew.
Acts.
Acts.
Yeah, Luke and Acts. Yeah.
No. I thought it suggested he did also.
No, I believe Matthew wrote about, like, the four Gospels, and they're all named after who wrote them.
Okay.
And then Luke and Acts right at the end were by Luke. Very good. Alrighty, so moving on to some kind of new territory. What would you like?
Growing like a weed for 500.
Five? Oh, wow. You guys are just grabbing it by the horns. The teens usually leave it right for the end. All right. Okay, what does the mustard seed represent in Jesus' parable? Go.
Jacinth? Faith.
Okay, so this is why I've made sure I put that in there. So last night we just had the question, what does the mustard seed represent? And the teens, they came up with the same answer. However, unfortunately, that is a different passage. And the one you're thinking of is if you have faith like a mustard seed. So we decided to not include that one because that's a size comparison. Whereas in the parable, it's actually something else it represents. Yes,
ma'am?
No.
Okay. They have already said
Kingdom of Heaven.
Yes, very good. So in the parable of the mustard seed represents the Kingdom of Heaven. Jesus, it's like two verses in Matthew 13. He says, the Kingdom of Heaven is like a mustard seed. So they had that, they call it the like is what? Is that a metaphor? Do we have any English people here? Simile, yes.
Oh.
Much better at numbers than English. All right, very good. Next one.
Growing like a weed for 300.
300, all right. Compared to other plants, how big is the mustard plant? Go. Yes, ma'am.
Well, it's very small.
But is it? No? No?
So you're talking about the seed itself?
The seed is, no, how big is the mustard
plant?
The
actual
plant. Oh, the plant.
Yes, ma'am.
Compared to... Very big.
Very. It is the largest, yes. Very good.
Is it very small?
So one can only presume it's very big. Good. And I lost my nose. 1 second. Oh, dear. Nope, stop. Anyway, well, we're here now. We'll do this one. So this is Growing Like a Weed 400. I'm not sure what happened to the computer. It did a bit of a glitch.
Okay.
So what creature sits in the branches of the grown mustard plant?
Creature.
And it's a bird.
Yes, it is a bird. Very good.
I want to say the crow.
It was probably a crow. They're everywhere. Oh, no, I'm losing my mouse again. There we go. If you don't move the cursor for more than a couple or for a couple seconds, it disappears. So
growing like a weed for 400.
We just did that
one.
So I'll just
okay, we'll
on
finish
that,
the
so
category.
So it goes purple. We still have the 100 up top.
We just we completed it too.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, so
we didn't do 100 yet.
So finish the category for 100.
All right, nice and methodical. I like it. All right, compared to other seeds, how big is the mustard seed? Go. Yes, Jacinth.
It's the smallest.
This one is the smallest, yes. So the seed is the smallest, and it grows to be the largest plant. Awesome. There we go. Okay, so founding fathers, how much?
300.
300, okay. All right, this man built the city of Babylon. Go, sorry. Yes, ma'am.
Nimrod.
No. No, good guess.
Nebuchadnezzar owned that city, but he didn't build it. Did he?
Nebuchadnezzar?
It was Nebuchadnezzar, yes, very good. He built it and he owned it. Good, okay.
Oh. Founding fathers for 400.
400, okay. This man placed a curse on whoever tried to rebuild Jericho. Go.
Joshua.
Yes, it was. It was Joshua. Where are you getting your information? That's all right.
That's why he wants to be a millionaire.
Very good. That's very good. All right. Which one would you like next?
Let's go for the big one, 500.
500, okay. I'm just going to apologize in advance because this one is tricky. This king rebuilt Gezer and Beth Horam. Go.
Rebuilt.
That's for David.
No, it was not okay. David.
Rebuilt Gezer. Joshua.
It was not. You're close. You're dancing around it. Anyone else? King Solomon, yes. Yeah.
So you get the pick. No.
This category was really difficult, so by the time I got to the 500, I was scraping the bottom of the barrel of who built cities. But I figured at least Solomon we all know, so maybe that would help. Alrighty. Last two.
200.
200? Okay. Founding fathers, 200. What city was Abraham from? Go. Yes, ma'am. What?
Ur?
No.
What did you say?
Ur.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Dude, you were trying to listen to the audience.
No, she was over there hollering on a gal. I'll take it.
It was sorry. Very good. All right. And last one. The number 100.
No double.
This man built the city of Enoch. Go ahead.
There was a city of
Enoch. So
audience, please.
Think about what you know about Enoch's family.
Nimrod.
It wasn't Nimrod. We should have had a Nimrod on here, but I didn't think any of the cities we would recognize the names of. So it wasn't Nimrod.
I have
no clue.
Just to make her feel the pressure. Yes, ma'am.
Enoch built his own city.
No, it wasn't Enoch. It was actually his father. It was Cain. So Cain, I believe it was possibly even the first city that was built. He built it named after his son.
Oh.
So there you go. And normally at this point we have several young people clamoring to see who won. But in this case, we were just doing it for fun. So we do have a final question, like True Jeopardy. Would you like the final question as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Double or
nothing. Oh, dear.
No
okay.
help from the audience, please.
So this man cut his hair every year, and it weighed 200 royal shekels. Go. Yes, ma'am.
Absalom.
It was Absalom. Yes, very good.
I knew it wasn't Santa because
Yeah. So this was Absalom, and he was extremely proud of his hair, and he'd cut it every year because it would get too heavy for him, which 200 shekels was something like 5 pounds, I think it was. So it doesn't seem like that much, but when it's on your head, trust me, it gets a bit heavy.
Yeah, trust you.
It's longer than it looks, but yes. Very good. So you ladies did very well, and I should probably look over the answer 1 second. Exactly. I know. That's how he died. His hair.
Thank you.
His hair, he was so proud, got caught in the tree. So thank you very much. All right. And I will turn it back over to Frank. He'll tell you what this is all about. Thank you.
Well, thank you, ladies. Thank you, Kia. So I'll put it out to the audience. Any idea why we played the game this morning? Well, it actually has a very important aspect to play in our everyday life. Relationship? With whom? Each other and with God. One of the things I found, and if I'm not intentional, this happens to me a lot, and I think this happens to most of us. If we're not intentional, our worship services sometimes are not that enjoyable. You know, it becomes routine. It's very easy for it to become routine for us. And so we have to do things like this to just enjoy the gospel. You know, Key and I, we picked this up last year working with the teens. Like she said, we were going to do a Jeopardy one night because we have 20 minutes, half hour, what do? You know, it was a time filler. And yet, when we went through it, they reacted. They loved it. They came back and they keep asking for it. You know, we've been doing one every week and or every night this week. And I tried something, I think it was Wednesday night, because Tuesday night we had a particularly difficult one. So Wednesday night, I had about 5-10 minutes with them. So I kind of just cycled through to see how much they would remember. And they would just rattle them off. It was becoming personal. It was becoming fun. In fact, during our Jeopardies, they swell. The numbers show up right around Jeopardy time. Because it's an enjoyable experience for them. A key element of worship. We call God our Father. And those of you who have children, how many of you enjoy watching your children have fun? Playing with your children. An important aspect is the enjoyment of God and everything He's given us. Use the Bible not just as a learning tool, but as a tool for fun. It makes Him more real, more hands-on, more grounded. So that's just a thought I wanted to leave this morning. Make our worship time fun. There's a place, I love Solomon's, there's a time and place for everything. There's a time and place for enjoyment. So, I think, let's pair up this morning. Let's pair up and take about 5-10 minutes. Just focus on how much God has given us to enjoy. How much He's given us just to experience Him and our relationship with each other. And then after that, I will close out with prayer. Well, I think we're just all about done. When we think about it, God wants us to be like little children. Our Sabbaths, our fellowship together, everything needs to bring us closer to Him and closer to each other. So as we go through this preparation day, you know, getting ready for the gifts of Sabbath, let us approach it as children. Let us spend that time and just revel in the beauty of that God has given us, especially here. You know, I was out in Alberta for a while, and the camp is nice, but you can't beat Pugwash. You know, the very fact that you can go out there and you look over the water, see PEI in the distance some mornings. You know, even though it's sweltering some days, you know, enjoy the sun, enjoy the rain. The fact that God has given us this is a blessing beyond anything we could ever have asked for or thought of. You know, if we didn't have it, could we have imagined this? Yet God did. So let us enjoy Him and enjoy the things He's given us. Join me as I close in prayer. Loving Father, again, we just want to praise You for being You. Father, what more could we ask for? We have You. Nothing compares. Our trials, our wants, you know, even the joys that we experience now, they don't compare to what a joy in You is. Father, it's all about You. Give us the opportunity, teach us to make every day, especially every day we spend together here, a small taste of heaven. Father, we look forward to being with You, and we know that You look forward to being with us, wrapping Your arms around us in a physical form. Father, we just want to praise You because we stand here in awe. We just thank You for You. In the name of Jesus, amen.